Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 13, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about investors who lost big in Poloniex flash crash receive Bitcoin refunds. Poloniex will reimburse $13.5 million loss from Clam's flash crash. UN investigating 35 North Korean military funding cyberattacks. UK's Pensions and Welfare Department eyes DLT for faster payments. Coinbase backs $4.3 million raise for new crypto derivatives exchange. New Zealand's ASB Bank takes stake in trade finance blockchain startup. Blockchain firm Bitfury turns to AI for big data mining. Bitcoin going to $100,000 after steady accumulation, says crypto trader. XRP price charts first death cross since April 2018. Seed CX begins testing swap contracts settled in real Bitcoin. Bitcoin's bulls now have a target of $13,200, monthly chart suggests. This crypto is worth less than 1 cent. VCs are betting millions on its future. 60 Latin American banks can now use Bitcoin for cross-border payments. Now let's get started. Investors who lost big in Poloniex flash crash receive Bitcoin refunds. Poloniex is now crediting trading fees in Bitcoin to lenders who lost funds in a May market crash involving the obscure cryptocurrency Clam. According to an official blog posting, Circle's Poloniex exchange will cover lost Bitcoin funds by covering trading fees in Bitcoin. Fees will be covered back from June 6 until an account is fully repaid. Poloniex's Clam margin trading market experienced a flash crash on May 26. A 2014 airdropped token credited to holders of Bitcoin, Litecoin and Dogecoin, Poloniex allowed margin trading on the coin till a flash crash wiped out 1,800 Bitcoins worth $13.5 million at the time. The drop crashed Clam's price 77% in just 45 minutes. Poloniex socialized the lost coins to the exchange's Bitcoin margin lending pool. A total of 0.4% of Poloniex users lost 16.2% of their funds held in the pool to cover the defaulted loans. At the time, Poloniex blamed the flash crash on the velocity of sell orders along with a general lack of liquidity within Clam margin trading. Poloniex said it was pursuing borrowers who defaulted, but the conclusion of the effort has yet to be disclosed. On June 14, Poloniex distributed 180 bitcoins to 10% of those affected by the flash crash. The distribution was an initial method to repay the Bitcoin lending pool. Under a new policy, lost Bitcoin funds will be returned by repaying exchange fees in Bitcoin. In response to the crash, Poloniex closed margin trading on BTS, Clam, FCT, and MADE. Poloniex will reimburse $13.5 million loss from Clam's flash crash. Cryptocurrency exchange, Poloniex, has announced a scheme to reimburse users affected by a flash crash in May, which led to total losses of around 1,800 Bitcoin, BTC. In an August 13 blog post, the company pledged to repay daily trading fees, in BTC, to impacted lenders until their losses are fully recovered. Payments will begin later in August and the first credit will include all trading fees incurred since the generalized losses were first recognized on June 6, 2019. Margin trading multiplies effects of flash crash. Poloniex has a peer-to-peer margin trading system. Users can receive interest for sending their BTC to a lending pool, from which other users borrow to trade. Borrowers must maintain collateral. In late May, a little-known token named Clam, crashed almost 80% in less than an hour. The unprecedented speed of the crash caused safety measures to fail in the automated liquidation system, designed to protect lenders' capital. The 1,800 BTC subsequently lost amounted to around $13.5 million at the time. an ongoing commitment to reimbursement and winning back trust. This is the second step by Polynex in its reimbursement of the lost funds. The first occurred shortly after the incident, on June 14, when around 10% of the losses, 180.736 BTC, were distributed proportionally amongst impacted lenders. In its blog post, Polynex stresses that its work to make customers whole is not limited to these two steps. It is also actively pursuing other strategies, with more information to follow. UN investigating 35 North Korean military funding cyberattacks. After a UN report recently accused the North Korean regime of carrying out major cyberattacks of banks and crypto exchanges to fund its weapons of mass destruction programs, a longer version of the report has set out the claims in new detail. As reported on August 6, the earlier confidential UN report seen by Reuters researched by independent experts and presented to the UN Security Council North Korea Sanctions Committee suggests that North Korea has used widespread and increasingly sophisticated hacks to collect roughly $2 billion. The new lengthier version of the report, seen by Associated Press, sets out that North Korea may have carried out at least 35 hacks in 17 countries and that the U.S. experts are investigating. The UN says that South Korea bore the brunt of the efforts, having suffered 10 attacks. The nation's Bithumb cryptocurrency exchange is said to have been hacked at least 4 times. India came next with 3 cyberattacks, while Bangladesh and Chile each had 2 attacks. 13 nations suffered 1 attack each, listed in the report as Costa Rica, Gambia, Guatemala, Kuwait, Liberia, Malaysia, Malta, Nigeria, Poland, Slovenia, South Africa, Tunisia, and Vietnam. The report further describes North Korea's modus operandi, saying that the nation employs 3 low-risk and high-yield methods to grab illicit gains. As well as targeting crypto exchanges and users, North Korea's hacking experts also carry out attacks through the SWIFT bank messaging network, with bank employee computers and infrastructure accessed to send fraudulent messages and destroy evidence. In one attack, the hackers managed to take over the ATM network for an entire nation and force 10,000 payments to alleged North Korean operatives. North Korea is also said to be mining cryptocurrency via illicit cryptojacking malware to fund a professional branch of the military. UK's Pensions and Welfare Department eyes DLT for faster payments. To keep up with the changing face of payments, the UK's Pensions and Welfare Division of Government, the Department for Work and Pensions, DWP, says it is investigating distributed ledger technology. In a blog post published late last week, Richard Laycock, deputy director at the DWP's Digital Delivery Shared Platforms, said that improvements are planned across the DWP payments systems to ensure its 20 million customers receive their payments on time. As we move our payment services forward, they need to be efficient, modern, fast, scalable, flexible, innovative and available 24/7, Laycock wrote. For the updated system, the DWP is investigating various tech trends, including the growing adoption of distributed ledger technology, DLT. We are starting to see the first full production, DLT, implementations, such as Santander's OnePay FX. The benefits include reducing time, cost and failure rate associated with making transactions whilst data is stored on a secure immutable ledger, according to Laycock. The department is also to revamp its payments architecture to introduce the biggest set of changes to the way UK payment schemes process payments in years. With a rollout planned to start in 2021, the DWP will introduce a common payment message standard and consolidate existing schemes. New overlay services will also be added, including request to pay and confirmation of payee. Open banking, the use of open APIs to allow third-party developers to build apps and services around a banking institution, also offers a way to improve aspects of the DWP's payment services. Laycock said, "I am keen for us to consider how we can harness the payment innovations coming out of these trends and how we can influence the new payment architecture to help shape future of payments across government." Coinbase backs $4.3 million raise for new crypto derivatives exchange. A new cryptocurrency derivatives exchange that hasn't yet launched has already won backing from major investors including Coinbase. Called Blade, the exchange platform is planning to go live in a few weeks with a focus on perpetual swaps, TechCrunch reported Monday. The firm was founded by Jeff Bion and Henry Lee, who had previously launched a delivery startup that crypto-friendly payments firm Square acquired in part in 2017. The two have now brought some of the same investors in to back their new Blade venture. Aside from Coinbase, investors in the $4.3 million seed round included SV Angel, A Capital, Slow Ventures, Twitch.tv co-founder Justin Kahn and Quora co-founder Adam D'Angelo. Blade is taking a focus on perpetuals, a derivative product like a futures contract, but has no expiry or settlement date because they are arguably the fastest growing segment of cryptocurrency trading, Bion told TechCrunch. As well as allowing traders to take a position on the future value of cryptocurrencies against the US dollar, swaps can be used to make bets on the price on one cryptocurrency against another. Blade hopes to compete against other similar offerings from rival exchanges by offering simple contracts. It's also offering margin and settlement in the stablecoin Tether, USDT, as well as leverage as high as 150x on BTC, USD and BTC, KRW. As the Korean One pair suggests, Blade is targeting the keen crypto trading markets in Asia. U.S. investors will not be allowed to use the platform, due to local regulatory issues. Bion told TechCrunch, "It's kind of a bifurcated market. Either you have exchanges like Coinbase or Gemini or Bittrex that cater to the U.S. market that are highly regulated, or the exchanges that cater to the non-U.S. market that are much less regulated, but that's where most of the volume is." New Zealand's ASB Bank takes stake in trade finance blockchain startup. A New Zealand bank has invested a significant amount in a startup working to put trade finance on a blockchain. Announced Tuesday, ABS Bank, an institution owned by the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, said it backed the TradeWindow platform after taking part in a pilot utilizing its tech to carry out a trade between a Korean importer and a New Zealand meat exporter last year. AJ Smith, founder and CEO of TradeWindow, said the undisclosed investment means his firm is one of the first tech companies in the country to backed directly by a New Zealand bank. "The decision by ASB to invest in TradeWindow is a great vote of confidence. The bank is committed to accelerating the progress of New Zealand's trade environment using new technology and recognizes the potential our product has to streamline trading between Kiwi exporters and the rest of the world," Smith said. The firm said the funding will be used to fast-track development of its platform. TradeWindow uses distributed ledger technology to create a single trading window that provides real-time insight into a trade for all participants. Changes to data can only be made with the consensus of the majority of the network, the firm said, meaning the risk of fraud and cyberattacks are greatly reduced. The most immediate benefit for clients, though, according to Smith, is the greater efficiencies and lower costs brought about by the real-time sharing of documentation. "Currently, this is couriered at significant cost between all trade participants," he said. As part of the funding deal, Nigel Annette, Executive General Manager of Corporate Banking at ASB Bank, will join TradeWindow's board. "What began as collaboration through ASB's innovation program to solve a customer problem, is now a fully fledged business ready to launch," Annette said. TradeWindow is said to be finalizing partnerships that will see it acquire two New Zealand-based export companies, as well as having more pilot schemes in the pipeline. Blockchain firm Bitfury turns to AI for big data mining. The Bitfury Group may soon be known as a data miner, as well as a crypto mining firm. In an interview with Reuters on Tuesday, the firm's co-founder and CEO Valery Vavilov said Bitfury has launched an artificial intelligence AI division in order to break down the world's vast amount of data and derive value from it. Calling data the next oil, Vavilov said that 98% of all data is just sitting waiting to be analyzed. While giving away few details, he added that the data analyses would utilize blockchain. "We also need to trust that data, so that's where blockchain comes in," Vavilov said. Bitfury offers a number of blockchain services, as well as making computer and crypto mining hardware and running crypto mining data centers. Last November, Bitfury closed an $80 million funding round led by venture capital firm Corellia Capital. Mike Novogratz, Galaxy Digital, Macquarie Capital, Dentsu Inc., Armat Group and others, also participated. A month prior, the firm was said by Bloomberg sources to be considering holding an initial public offering (IPO) via a stock exchange listing in Amsterdam, London or Hong Kong. The sources said Bitfury may be valued as high as $3 billion $5 billion if it goes public within the next 2 years. Bitfury's AI division is currently in research mode, according to Vavilov, with a clearer vision of its potential use cases and products expected at the end of the year or early 2020. He said in a statement, "Just as blockchain technology enables us all to fix our most broken and distrusted systems, artificial intelligence will bring new and extraordinary benefits to nearly every facet of our lives. To help this incredible technology achieve maximum impact, Bitfury is expanding our mission to offer hardware and software solutions designed especially for AI applications." To head up the new unit, the firm has appointed tech veteran Fabrizio Del Maffio, formerly vice president and managing director of AAEON Technology Europe, a firm that focuses on AI and IoT as part of the ASUS Group. Prior to that, Del Maffio held positions at Advantech, Esprinet and Accenture, according to his LinkedIn profile. "Bitcoin going to $100,000 after steady accumulation," says crypto trader. Former Goldman Sachs analyst turned Bitcoin, BTC, maximalist Murad Mahmudov believes the top cryptocurrency will hit $100,000. Zoom out and think big. In a tweet posted on August 13, Mahmudov, who serves as Chief Information Officer, CIO, at cryptocurrency hedge fund Adaptive Capital, wrote, "At first glance this looks like a weak chop for the next week or so, but my intuition tells me there is steady accumulation happening at these levels. Don't try to outsmart yourself on short timeframes, zoom out and think big. In my view, BTC is going to $100,000 per orange coin." Mahmudov analyzed the coin's key support levels, observing that 200 mega amperes moving average, EMA exponential moving average, RSI bands relative strength indicator, plus weekly support all point to $10,800, but you may get a wick at most given the order book support across exchanges. Isolating $10,800 as an emergent key support level on the BTC, USD daily chart as well, he said that with the caveat that he is not purporting to give financial advice, if I were a betting man, I would be patiently and slowly adding at every key support. To the sky, Mahmudov's eye-popping $100,000 forecast has been recently echoed by Morgan Creek Digital Assets founder Anthony Pompliano, who considers that the recent dovish turn by central banks will be rocket fuel for Bitcoin's price and help drive it to $100,000 by the end of 2021. Pompliano also cited Bitcoin's having the reduction of mining rewards in half in May 2020 as a major factor likely to propel the coin's valuation upwards. This July, Cointelegraph reported that United States-based regulated crypto derivatives and clearing platform Ledgerx was giving retail investors the chance to bet on Bitcoin hitting $100,000 by 2020. At press time, Bitcoin is trading in the $11,200-300 range, fractionally down on the day, according to Cointelegraph's Bitcoin Price Index. XRP price chart's first death cross since April 2018. XRP is flashing red this Tuesday morning with a long-term price indicator turning bearish for the first time in over a year. At press time, the third largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization is currently trading at $0.2955 on Bitfinex, representing a 1% drop on a 24-hour basis. More importantly, however, the 50-day moving average (MA) of XRP's price has crossed below the 200-day MA. That is the first death cross or a long-term bearish crossover since April 2018. Technical analysis theory considers the death cross as an advance warning of a major sell-off. In reality, however, the crossover is the result of a major price slide. The MA studies are based on historical data and tend to lag price. This is evident from the fact that XRP fell from 52 cents to 28 cents in 3.5 weeks to July 16, and the bearish crossover has happened today. Put simply, the long-term MA crossovers are lagging indicators and have limited predictive powers at best. In fact, the death cross has worked as a contrary indicator in the past, as seen in the chart below. XRP fell from a record high of $3.30 to 45 cents in 3 months to April 1, 2018, and the 50 and 200-day MAs produced charted the death cross on April 9, following which XRP picked up a bid and rose to a high of 96 cents by April 24. Take note of the fact that the 14-day Relative Strength Index (RSI) was reporting oversold conditions with a below 30 print on April 1. An oversold RSI indicates the sell-off is overdone and potential for a corrective bounce, which happened after the confirmation of the death cross. This time, the RSI is hovering at 37.00, above right. A reading between 50 and 30 indicates bearish conditions. Further, the pennant breakdown, a bearish continuation pattern, confirmed earlier this month indicates the path of least resistance is to the downside. Therefore, the latest death cross could end up bolstering the already bearish setup. XRP could drop below the support at $0.2825 April 25th low in the short run and extend losses toward the September 2018 low of 25 cents. The short-term outlook would turn bullish if prices rise above $0.34097 July 20th high, invalidating the bearish lower highs setup. Seed CX begins testing swap contracts settled in real Bitcoin. Bitcoin derivatives provider Seed CX has begun testing its margin swaps products with users, the company said Tuesday. Investors can now onboard to try out Seed CX's swaps product matching platform during the testing period through its subsidiary Seed SEF, a regulated swap execution facility, SEF, the company announced. Seed CX's CEO Edward Woodford told CoinDesk that the testing would allow market participants to test both their connections to the marketplace, as well as the products themselves to ensure they are working as expected. "We're very excited to have begun user testing of our physically settled Bitcoin derivative product," said Seed CX President Brian Liston in a statement. "We're at the final step." Woodford told The Block that the company could launch its live swaps product over the next 3 months. "The three-month timeline is not firm, as we are waiting on regulatory approval and therefore it is not in our hands to control," he clarified to CoinDesk, adding, "We are ready from a technology standpoint. The other factors that can influence our timeline is the regulators' views on these products." In his statement, Liston said that once testing is concluded successfully and regulators have reviewed, the company will be able to launch a much-needed margined, physically settled digital asset derivative to U.S. customers. Race to market. A number of firms are looking to offer physically settled Bitcoin derivatives, in which clients receive the actual Bitcoin underlying a contract on expiration. In the U.S. to date, Ledgerx is the only one to provide swaps and options products, which it offers to both institutional and retail clients. However, Seed CX wants to become the first to offer physically settled products on margin, meaning investors can enter a leveraged position. The company has previously announced its intention to offer Bitcoin forwards, a product similar to the Bitcoin futures that Intercontinental Exchange's backed, Ledgerx and ERISX are hoping to offer customers. True Digital is also looking to launch Bitcoin forwards. While futures are standardized contracts traded on an exchange, forwards can be customized between parties and are traded over the counter. Clients can use both to bet on the price of Bitcoin at some future date. According to Tuesday's press release, Seed CX intends to offer 9 different contracts simultaneously, 4 weekly contracts, 3 serial monthly contracts and 2 quarterly monthly contracts. Weekly contracts will expire on Fridays, while the monthly and quarterly monthly contracts will expire on the third Friday of the relevant months. Seed CX, the parent firm to Seed SEF, launched a Bitcoin spot trading market in January, offering institutional clients trading and settlement services. Bitcoin's bulls now have a target of $13,200, monthly chart suggests. View. Bitcoin charted an inside bar pattern last month, making $13,200 the level to beat for the bulls. A convincing move above $13,200 would imply a resumption of the rally from lows near $4,050 seen in April. A break below $9,049, July's low, would confirm a bearish inside bar reversal on the monthly chart. The hourly chart indicates prices could drop below $11,000 in the next 24 hours or so. The bearish case would weaken if lower highs pattern on the hourly chart is invalidated with a move above $11,431. Bitcoin BTC now needs to break above $13,200 to revive the stalled bull market, a key monthly chart pattern suggests. The top cryptocurrency by market value created an inside bar pattern in July, with the monthly high and low of $13,200 and $9,049, respectively, falling within June's trading range of $13,880 to $7,432. An inside bar candle is characterized by a higher low and a lower high than the previous candle, and represents an indecisive market or consolidation in a narrowing price range. A convincing break above the inside bar's high is widely considered a sign of a bullish breakout. As such, July's high of $13,200 is now the level to beat for the bulls. As of writing, BTC is changing hands at $11,220 on Bitstamp, representing little change on a 24-hour basis. BTC broke into a bull market in April and rose to a 17-month high of $13,880 before creating last month's inside bar candle, above left. Coming after a notable uptrend, the pattern suggests bullish exhaustion and an impending bullish to bearish trend change. That said, a bearish reversal would be confirmed only if BTC ends the current month below July's low of $9,049. On the other hand, acceptance above $13,200 July's high would signal a continuation of the rally from April's low near $4,050. The probability of BTC ending the current month above $13,200 would rise if prices print a bullish weekly Sunday UTC close above $12,000. As can be seen, above right, the cryptocurrency has failed four times in the last 7 weeks to find acceptance above $12,000. Many observers believe a weekly close above $12,000 would imply a continuation of the bull market. While the argument has merit, a stronger confirmation would be a high-volume move above $13,200. As for the next 24 hours, BTC risks falling below $11,000. BTC has created a lower high at the lower edge of a flag pattern above left in the last 24 hours, reinforcing the bearish view put forward by the flag breakdown, a bearish continuation pattern confirmed yesterday. Selling volume is again ticking up, validating the bearish setup, while the relative strength index, too, is reporting bearish conditions with a below 50 print. The 5 and 10-day moving averages (MAs) have produced a bearish crossover. As a result, prices may well drop toward the 5-week moving average, currently at $10,778. The bearish case would weaken if prices rise above $11,431, invalidating the bearish lower highs setup. In that case, $12,000 could come into play. This crypto is worth less than 1 cent. VCs are betting millions on its future. Not all token sales led to quick failures or cash grabs. Some were part of a broader, albeit ambitious, business strategy. The blockchain startup Patientory, which makes a consumer health app and offers enterprise data management services to hospitals and clinics, just closed a $5.2 million Series A, including R/GA Ventures. This comes as the startup's first funding round since it split off from the Patientory Association, a nonprofit created after the May 2017 initial coin offering (ICO) of Ethereum-based PTOY tokens raised $7.2 million. With the token, it basically regulates the storage in each node. Chrissa McFarlane, Patientory CEO and president of the Patientory Association, told CoinDesk about her company's token-oriented pilot programs. You're providing storage space and also paying for the transactions. That said, few people currently use the token for anything beyond experiments. McFarland said that beyond the holdings given to the founding team and nonprofit, she doesn't know who is trading PTOY tokens these days on external exchanges like Upbit and Bittrex. According to CoinMarketCap, the price of PTOY plummeted in January 2018 and has remained at a pittance ever since, a fraction of a penny compared to a peak of 67 cents each in the bull market of December 2017. However, PatientTory doesn't rely on users owning tokens. To the contrary, McFarland said she accepts fiat payments from prospective clients and purchases tokens on their behalf to facilitate transactions. Node operators can earn these tokens as a reward for providing storage space to other network participants, but usage isn't mandatory. We do not put data on the blockchain. Think of it as decentralized storage, McFarland said. Once the blockchain system is integrated with the hospital medical records, the data is encrypted and sharded so that the PatientTory network basically acts like road signs for queries. Her goal is to have data across different healthcare providers managed under the patient's private key, so the patient can grant providers nearly instant access. Almost 350 users have tested the startup's beta mobile app, which can include subscription features like personalized health tips, since it launched in late 2018. Dylan Boyd, director of new programs at the Oregon Enterprise Blockchain Venture Studio, OEBV, told CoinDesk that RGA Ventures investment came by way of a partnership between the firm and his Portland-based studio. He added McFarland's startup was chosen because she managed ICO funds in a meaningful way. Her fortitude to work through the bear market is pretty impressive, Boyd said. ICO breakdown. In total, the PatientTory ecosystem has raised roughly $12.4 million to date, from the ICO to the latest venture capital round. McFarland told CoinDesk roughly a third of the ICO funds went toward the nonprofit's marketing and conference budget, such as recruiting and participating in Dubai's BlockHealth Summit in April. Another 20% went toward developing the startup's app, with 7 developers on staff. She added the remaining 45% of the ICO funds are under the nonprofit's management, predominantly Ether reserves along with 5% in conservative, traditional investment products. So far, most of the ICO funds were spent establishing the nonprofit, with 3 board members, 4 institutional members and a dozen ambassadors promoting the blockchain solution abroad. Unlike most token-funded nonprofits, the PatientTory Association is based in Silicon Valley instead of Switzerland or elsewhere offshore. The new Series A round will go toward developing the mobile app with more features, McFarland said. However, any hint of profitability is a future projection at this point. BlockInterop CEO Gina Malik, who spearheads a complementary token project focused on healthcare apps, told CoinDesk she is a PTOY holder who plans to run a node, pay for PatientTory's blockchain as service offerings and collaborate on workshops through the PatientTory Association. Both business leaders are Black women entrepreneurs who turn to token sales because, as reported by Fast Company, researchers estimate less than 1% of traditional venture capital funding went to Black women in 2018. Malik said, "As an entrepreneur, I found token sales offer several advantages and could open more doors for funding opportunities. Growing a community. So far, PatientTory doesn't have any paying clients. But it does have a slowly growing community of contributors." With regards to association members, board member Jonathan Fuchs told CoinDesk these members are involved with focus groups to brainstorm compliant solutions for sharing sensitive healthcare data. "The federal standards for interoperability are in final stages of development," Fuchs said. "Support groups remain integral to the testing, feedback and implementation of systems interoperability capabilities in a very complex and integrated healthcare ecosystem." Also along those lines, OEBVS's Boyd said PatientTory is participating in an OEBVS program to explore research opportunities with partners like Oregon Health Science University and Consensus. The startup also has ongoing pilot programs with partners that run their own nodes, including Navicent Health, Moda Health and IrisGuard, the latter of which ran an aid distribution program with the United Nations in 2017 to serve refugees in Jordan. PatientTory is also pursuing opportunities with the Dubai Health Authority. BlockInterOps Malik described both her own startup and McFarland's as embarking on a similar path. Speaking to the benefits of joining the Patientory Association, with access to healthcare industry experts and support groups related to systems compliance, she added, "I feel that together we have formed a strong strategic alliance that will empower patients and bring them to the center of their healthcare." 60 Latin American banks can now use Bitcoin for cross-border payments. A leading bank technology provider in Latin America is partnering with cryptocurrency exchange Bitix to facilitate cross-border payments over the Bitcoin blockchain. The integration of Bitix into Bantotal program represents a major step in the breakthrough of blockchain technology in banking, said Bitix Chief Marketing Officer Manuel Beaudroit. Bantotal is a core banking service provider based in Uruguay that services over 60 different financial institutions across 14 different countries. According to a Bantotal spokesperson, an estimated 20 million people use Bantotal's money management services. Bantotal is one of the biggest banking providers in Latin America and is a huge player not just in Latin American but the greater Pacific, said Sebastian Oliveira, founder of the Uruguayan FinTech Chamber. For me, Bitix provides a great solution for payments and they will be boosted by the structure and name of Bantotal. The partnership means that Bantotal clients will be able to access Bitix services in a marketplace of other traditional financial services that Bantotal offers through its B Developers program. With this technology, banks can have access to an API and have control of the whole process of cross-border payment with visibility and reliability on the Bitcoin blockchain, said Beaudroit. Calling it a quantum leap forward for local banks in Latin America, Beaudroit said that average fees associated with cross-border payments are up to 5 times cheaper using Bitix than international wire transfers. What's more, these transfers are significantly faster, according to Beaudroit, who said payment times for exporters between Argentina and Paraguay in one instance last February dropped from 1 month to 1 hour after switching to Bitix's cross-border payment services. The partnership in the eyes of competitors such as Stellar, which also specializes in cross-border payments leveraging its own blockchain network, is seen as a positive signal. Lisa Nestor, the Stellar Development Foundation's Director of Partnerships, told CoinDesk, "We think this announcement further validates the value financial institutions are recognizing in digital assets and distributed ledger technology for executing core banking activities, like international payments. It's also no coincidence these product partnerships are being launched in the Latin American market where cross-border payments, even in neighboring nations, can be slow and expensive." How Bitix works. Bitix essentially acts as a middleman for national and regional banks to convert fiat payments into Bitcoin then back into fiat, as opposed to completing multiple fiat to fiat conversions. If I want to do a payment from Argentina to Chile, I don't need to buy dollars with the Argentinian pesos then transfer the dollars to the US then move the dollars to Chile and exchange them into Chilean pesos, said Beaudroit. I can just send a payment from Argentina to Chile directly, using Bitcoin. Calling it a system of peer-to-peer banking, Beaudroit explained that Bitix handles the conversion of local currencies into and from Bitcoin, as well as, its ultimate dispersion into regional or national bank accounts. Normally, this process of transferring money across borders with local banks in Latin America can take anywhere from 48 to 96 hours depending on the specific bank branch and financial intermediaries used, according to Leo Elduayan, vice president of nonprofit Bitcoin Argentina and founder of blockchain startup Coibanks. Elduayan described the full process of cross-border payments using Bitix as an end-to-end solution for banks, saying, "The purchase and transfer of Bitcoin, Bitix does it all on your behalf. You as a user just send the money and Bitix takes care of the rest for you. A good first step." With the Bantotal partnership, Elduayan suspects that accessibility to Bitix services for consumers in Latin America will dramatically increase though there are a number of hurdles still left to get banks on board. To this, Oliveira said that both Know Your Customer, KYC, and anti-money laundering, AML, legislation is still a major issue for banks when it comes to using the Bitcoin blockchain. Federico Ast, CEO of Buenos Aires-based arbitration startup Claros, agreed, adding that regulatory uncertainty and seeing cryptocurrencies as a fad are still major barriers to entry for Latin American banks. "I have to be honest. I think this is just the first conversation," said Oliveira. "It's too early to say whether banks will choose to operate with BitX, but it's a good first step. Rebuilding trust. At the very least, both Ast and Oliveira see this partnership between Bantotal and BitX as an opportunity to expose consumers in Latin America to the benefits of blockchain technology and help rebuild consumer trust in existing financial institutions. "Historically, Latin America has had weak financial systems," said Ast. "There's a history of bank runs with some sad highlights of confiscation of people's saving, e.g., Argentina in 2001. This agreement will lead to lower costs for consumers and higher financial inclusion." BitX's Bodroit has high hopes this partnership will also contribute to increasing the national GDPs of Latin American countries by enabling more commerce to flow in a peer-to-peer fashion. In this way, Santiago Siri, founder of digital governance startup Democracy Earth and advisor to BitX, said the work of BitX went far beyond simply being a crypto exchange platform. Said Siri, "It's an ideal partner for banks to use Bitcoin as a way of connecting banks in a way that is not very common in the industry yet is fundamental for markets like Latin America." This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.